Problem of piracy continues to persist. General Hood and I have been working on this for how long now? Jim, 4 years at least. And by the way, he's been a tremendous leader on this whole topic, including especially the issue of piracy on campus. So I'm really glad you could be here for this, Jim. But MPAA, or Senator Dodd, any thoughts on where we go next with SOPA?
Well, is this on?
There it is. It was a threshold event. I mean, I think in watching events, as many of you have, not all of you, and how a bill becomes law. I mean, normally, if you looked at this process, you had a unanimous vote out of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Democrats and Republicans agreeing with the bill that Senator Leahy and Senator Hatch originally worked on. The House had a similar situation, not quite as unanimous, but I think any of us would be hard-pressed to name another issue in the last 4 or 5 years where you had that degree of unanimity around a subject matter, and that is to try and come up with answers to deal with foreign sites. I think, as all of you know, we've had domestic legislation to deal with domestic sites, in fact, have shut down some 300 or so in the last year or two. But obviously the criminals have learned very quickly that if they can get outside the shores of the United States, then they'd be beyond the reach of the law. And are able to avoid the kind of efforts that have been made domestically. And again, I great respect for Lamar Smith and for Howard Berman, who led the effort in the House. But I think, candidly, the legislation had some issues that needed to be addressed and thought through. But normally you do that. You'll have a bill introduced, and then through an amendment process, you get back to a point where people decide this is a workable solution to move forward. This took on a whole new life, obviously. Within a space of 8 or 10 days, you had between 8 and 10 million emails that came flooding in. And a lot of it was about freedom of speech. The terms of the debate changed. You globalized an issue that you had been hard-pressed to find 20 people interested in the subject matter of copyright prior to that. And then, candidly, the opportunity to respond was almost eliminated entirely. But the issue doesn't go away, as you've heard from the panelists and others today, looking for solutions to this. I don't believe anything will happen in the remainder of this year. Again, election year politics are always difficult at any level. And the idea of having another issue come up like this is probably unwise, although I leave it up to the members of Congress to decide that issue. But my guess would be that they would not try to move forward right now. But there are efforts underway, and we need to try and find a solution to the issue. My hope is that we can get, and I mentioned this briefly in my remarks, that this does require a level of cooperation, obviously, between the technology community and the content community. Both need each other. The idea that technology can exist without content, or content will exist without technology, is sort of ludicrous on its face, it seems to me. And particularly when you consider the value to us in this country. We didn't talk about these numbers today in the context of this, and I realize they're not highly persuasive. But there's a lot of misinformation about the film and television industry. This industry employs 2.2 million people every day. Now, some are selling popcorn and others are making a lot of money at another end. But an average salary is $55,000 a year. Good pensions, good health care benefits as a result in the industry. We bring back more revenues to the United States than aerospace, agriculture, or automobiles. It's a product that the world enjoys, even those who aren't necessarily our friends around the world. Given the choice between watching a product made by the film and television industry anywhere else in the world, will choose the American product. And so there's a lot more at stake here. This is an industry in which you can have a high school diploma and a year or two of technical training, get a very good job in this industry. I think any of us would be hard-pressed to name another industry where that kind of opportunity exists without having completed a college education or even beyond to get a good job. Now, again, those aren't persuasive statistics because, again, as I think Rick pointed out, people see this as a victimless kind of crime. How much harm can I really cause if I'm stealing a film or a television product from what we perceive as overpaid people in this business? And yet I think if more people are aware, how many average people, the people whose names you're never going to see on a marquee, but watch the credits at the end. The people in this room standing behind these cameras or operating the sound systems are 98% of the employees in this business. The 2% that we read about and hear about represent a fraction of the people affected by this industry. And so it's an important issue. And my hope is that over this gap, if you will, between now and next January, February or so, that people can come together around some solutions for national legislation, memorialize if need be, or codify ideas that will allow us to move forward in this 21st century where content and intellectual property are protected. It is the lifeblood of any country and any ability. In fact, the Internet itself would have been in deep trouble
if you'd had this attitude about copyright 20 years ago, where the very ideas that gave birth to this remarkable industry would be at risk, in my view. So we really need some leadership on this issue. And my hope is in these coming weeks and months we'll get it. And I think the idea of SOPA, whatever you're going to call this, please, by God, they don't call it SOPA. Think of some new name for this, by the way, given this has become sort of a mantra almost internationally.
Right.